From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, we are broadcasting again today from the Ark Encounter located in northern Kentucky. I'll be joined a little later by President and CEO of Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham, to talk more about the Ark Encounter and the defense of the first freedom. But first, last week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that the Trump administration would prioritize religious freedom by working to defend religious minorities around the world. And he's calling a summit on religious freedom of diplomats and others to see how the State Department can focus on protecting this fundamental freedom. Congresswoman Dianne Black of Tennessee will be here to talk about it. Also, a homosexual activist in eastern Kentucky has lost his bid to challenge Republican County Clerk Kim Davis. You might remember Kim Davis from here in Kentucky, who went to jail 3 years ago for denying or simply refusing to sign marriage certificates, same-sex marriage certificates. She went to jail. In fact, I visited her in jail. Well, she's going to be joining us a little later here on Washington Watch. And Travis Weber, director of FRC Center for Religious Liberty, will join me with additional analysis of yesterday's Supreme Court decision in the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision. That's coming up here on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T. Perkins. All right, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo recently announced that he would personally host the State Department's first ever International Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom in Washington in late July. The summit will gather high-level faith leaders and top diplomats from like-minded governments. Joining us now is Congresswoman Dianne Black. She represents the 6th Congressional District of Tennessee. She serves on the House Budget Committee and the Ways and Means Committee. We are so glad to have her because she leads out on so many important issues in Congress. Dianne, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's great to be with you today.
Well, you've obviously been very outspoken on this issue of religious freedom, both domestically and from a standpoint of our foreign policy. What are your thoughts on the Secretary of State's announcement to make this a focal point for his agency there at the State Department?
Well, I think it's just a great thing for our nation to stand up for what was really the founding of our nation was based upon, and that is religious freedom. And we have it in the First Amendment. It is there at the very First Amendment because it is very important. But could you imagine, a couple of years ago under the previous administration, you're talking about religious freedom within our own country, more or less being concerned about religious freedom around the world. And so it's a new day. It's a good day. And I'm so glad that my classmate, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, is taking the lead on this. It's a great thing for us.
Well, and you make that connection between what was happening here domestically under the previous administration and when our government, I should say, is hostile toward religious freedom here at home. It certainly sends a message abroad that it's not a priority for us. That clearly is changing. But we are suffering the consequences of really decades of hostility toward religious freedom. And you made a comment about that, connected that recently, as others have when it comes to these school shootings. But when you make those statements, just bringing it to the forefront of the discussion that, hey, what are the underlying issues here when we see children killing children? And you bring up the moral decay that's in our society, and you're attacked for that. And so many would back away, but I want to commend you for not backing away from that, that you are not afraid to speak the truth, that in fact we have eroded the moral foundation of our country and our society. And so, unfortunately, we shouldn't be surprised by these tragedies.
You're right, Tony. And this was a private conversation that I was having with a group of pastors within Middle Tennessee, and we were talking about what is the impetus of all of what we're seeing with so much violence today, and in particular the shootings, which just break our heart. And my comments were taken out of context because I talked about the breakdown of the family, which I think you and I and so many of us who have come from strong families that we see, that's what happens when children don't have guidance. They will find things that they get into, they don't understand, they do need guidance, and especially in those adolescent years. And one of those is the kind of violence we see in video games and what kids are able to see on the internet that we were never exposed to, and one of those is pornography. So it was a part of the entire conversation, but I do have to laugh that when it was picked up, because there was someone sitting in the room that was from a very liberal media source and was picked up and sold the way it was, I was very proud. I said, I love the fact that we're making the news on this because it is so true. And now even some of the more liberal outlets have come to my defense on this to say, yes, there's good research out there to show that children who are in these situations where they get involved in pornography, they find there is depression and there is mental illness that comes as a result of not having the guidance. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's we've become accustomed to this, to where these media outlets will take a statement that you make out of context and twist it. And that obviously then they run with it, and other media sources pick it up without ever checking to see whether or not it's correct. But again, this is something that many, many leaders have recognized. I mean, we saw it in Texas. The Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was talking about this. The Attorney General there was talking about it. The relationship between the breakdown in our society and the family and morality. You know, I have to think that the reason they were trying to make this an issue with you is because you happen to be running for governor in Tennessee.
Right.
And they're just trying to trip you up. But again, I want to commend you, because I was on vacation and I saw this on the Twitter feed, and I said, wait a minute, I know Diane. And so I went to look at the whole statement that you made, and I said, we've got to address this. But you didn't back away from it, so I commend you for not doing what they want, and that is apologizing, backing away. Somehow, they just want us to go silent on the truth, which will only make matters in our society worse.
You're so right, Tony, and that's why we have to stand up. We have to be a voice for what we know is right and not be intimidated just because they have all the ink in the barrel that they can make us look like devils. But it will turn on them if we are just stand up and we're strong and we know what we're saying is right and we can defend it. We cannot back down.
And, you know, when you take that message to the people and you don't back away, you don't apologize for speaking truth, especially in fact, I was in Tennessee last week. Tennessee is one of my favorite places to visit. And those are just salt of the earth people that understand right and wrong. And, you know, I'm speaking broadly, but the majority clearly understand that and support that. And the media, which is out of touch, I believe, mainstream media with the vast majority of Americans, as we saw in the 2016 election. If the leaders will simply stand their ground and speak the truth and take that message to the people respond.
Absolutely. And that's what we do here in the state of Tennessee. As you say, we are a state where we know right is right, wrong is wrong. We know God is God, and we know life is life. And I'm very proud to protect that, and I will continue to protect that as a leader of our great state if I'm so fortunate to be elected governor.
Let me ask you this, Congresswoman Diane Black, as you're traveling the state of Tennessee, we just reached the 500-day mark of the Trump administration. How are people responding when they hear of the accomplishments of what the Trump administration has done in its first 500 days?
Well, first of all, we have to get the message out, because the mainstream media will not get the message out. They will not give our president credit for all the wonderful things he's done. But, you know, people know there's something different, even if they can't articulate exactly what it is that has made the economy turn around and made things different. They will say to me, I've got more money in my pocket now. We're turning back to the things that we value. And all of these kinds of changes that have come underneath of this president, people are feeling in their life. It's a real change. And look, they love President Trump here in our state. We had a Trump rally a week or so ago, and there was a big crowd there and lots of cheering for him.
Well, you talk about the economy. I mean, we have an unemployment rate of 3.8%. I mean, you know, you have to ask the question, how low can it go? I mean, people are working. If you want a job, you can find a job in today's economy.
That's right. And they like having those extra dollars in their pocket. And even though Nancy Pelosi calls that chump change, look, that is not chump change. When you are a hardworking person and you get an extra $1,000 in your check over a year, there is a lot that can be done, whether saving
for
school or buying new clothes or taking a vacation.
Yeah, that's right. Call me a chump, but just give me the change.
Yeah.
I'll be happy to have an extra $1,000. Diane Black, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for being a leader on conservative issues on Capitol Hill.
Oh, thank you, Tony, for what you all do and having a voice out there that can get across the entire country. Thank you.
All right. Congresswoman Diane Black of Tennessee, a real conservative leader. You know, and I love the fact that we've got a number of women in Congress who are, I'm telling you what, they provide some strong leadership, really do. I mean, of course, Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman of Minnesota, who's on the board of the Family Research Council, strong, strong leader. Diane Black, I mean, there's just so many. And in fact, this is why these midterm elections are so important coming up. And the primaries are going on right now. In fact, got more today. If you haven't voted, you still got time to go and vote. So be sure and get out and vote. If you if you're in New Jersey, California, Iowa, Montana, New Mexico, primaries. So make sure you still got time. Get out there and vote. It's important that you are engaged in the process. But here's what's important. We have seen over the last decade, and I've been here, I've watched it, I've seen an ideological shift in Congress to the right. Okay? It's become more conservative. More Christian men and women who have come to Washington, D.C., that have come here not out of self-serving purposes, but out of calling. And now they're not in the majority. I've talked about this many times. They're not in the majority, but they're getting close. And that's why the left is so exercised, and they want to suppress conservative turnout in the midterm, because we are close to seeing a significant change in leadership, because the leadership really is a reflection of the whole mixture of the parties. And as the parties become more conservative and more liberal, the leadership represents that. That's why the Democratic Party more liberal, Nancy Pelosi. The Republican Party more conservative, we want John Boehner, Paul Ryan, and Paul Ryan stepping down, and so we're going to have a new speaker. Who's it going to be? I don't know yet. But a lot of that depends on who the membership of the party is. So it's extremely important that you're engaged in these midterm elections. All right, still a lot more Washington Watch to come. We're going to be joined with the president and CEO of Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham. We're going to be talking about the defense of the First Amendment. Believe it or not, simply standing up for Genesis results in attack on the freedom of speech. We're going to be talking about that as we're broadcasting live from the Ark Encounter here in Northern Kentucky. Also, we're going to be joined by Clerk of Court Kim Davis. We'll be joined by her, and also Travis Weber going to be joining us a little bit later with further analysis on yesterday's Supreme Court case. All that and more here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
This is Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, as I mentioned, we're broadcasting from the Ark Encounter in northern Kentucky, Williamstown, to be exact. And it's fascinating, okay? You have to see it. You just have to see it. So that's all I can say. Just come and see it. And also, while you're here, make sure that you go to the Creation Museum. And with us now is Ken Ham. He is the founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, and the Ark Encountered. And Ark Encounter. And Ken, I have encountered the Ark.
Well, you know, we called it an encounter because we wanted people to encounter Noah's Ark. In doing so, encounter the Bible. And most of all, in doing so, encounter the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation.
And that's happened.
Yes, it has happened. Matter of fact, you know, on the third deck, we have a very interesting movie. We have a movie on the second deck and one on the third deck. We have our theaters at the end, at the stern end of those two decks. And those movies were filmed having an actor pretending, you know, acting, that she was from a tabloid newspaper, pre-flood interviewing Noah. And then on the third deck, it's the same actor, but she's in the modern world, comes to the actual ark and goes through, and we even have Ray Comfort preaching as a holographic image on that particular video. And just to give you an example, we met a man in the gift store. He saw one of our employees, and they videoed it for me. Actually, I got it on my phone as a video. And he came and he said, "I just want to let you know," he said, "we brought our family to the ark. Our son-in-law was not saved." And he sat through that movie, and at the end of that movie, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. And he went on to say, "I've just got, you know, the usual Old Testament of, you know, I became a Christian and so on, but he got saved on the ark."
Well, that is a testimony, to be able to say you've been saved on the ark, because it is. It's truly a picture of God's grace.
It is, and that's why, you know, the most photographed part of the ark, well, other than the outside, because everyone who comes up that hill out of the valley on those shuttle buses. We have a mile shuttle bus ride from the 4,000 space parking lot. And as they come up around that corner, if you're in the buses, you'll hear, wow,
yeah.
Gasps, and they photograph it. But other than that, and they all stand out the front and front of the lake there and get their photograph of the Ark in the background. I see so many groups of people doing that and individuals. But inside the Ark, the most photographed section is on the second deck, and it's at the bow end. It's the door. Noah built one door. God said put one door in the side of the Ark. And so we have this massive, big
right.
door, and we have the ramp going up to the door. Now, the public can't go up that way. One day we'll have parades and things that will. But when you're looking at the door inside, we have an illuminated cross on the door. So we have light illuminating the cross. It's subtle, but you see it. When you use your smartphone to take a photo, the cross shows up even more because it's light, which is interesting because we've actually had people go home and tell us, we got home, we looked at our photos, and a miracle happened. A cross appeared on the Ark door.
I actually saw people out there taking pictures at the cross
well,
door.
We love
at the door.
We love to have families standing yeah. there getting their picture because it's a reminder Noah and his family had to go through a door to be saved. God's Son said, I am the door.
And it is. It's a picture of God's grace.
It is.
It is the door. And, of course, Jesus, as you made reference in the New Testament, said, I am the door, the
right.
way, the truth, and the life.
By
no
me, if any man enter in, he'll yeah. be saved.
You actually have some live animals on the Ark. In addition to a zoo here on the grounds. But I was questioning this because you're talking about the door where the animals don't even come through the door. They actually use the elevator.
Yeah, they come up from an elevator, yeah. I'm sure Noah didn't have an elevator to bring the animals up. I'm sure he had a ramp for them to come up. But we actually have a petting zoo on the Ark on the second deck, and the animals don't sleep overnight in the Ark. We have about 40 zoo staff, actually, because it's quite a significant zoo. We just had another kangaroo come out of its mother's pouch, so we actually have Australian animals here, which we have to because, you know,
now, do you have a better chance at talking to them? Do they understand you better?
Oh, absolutely. They understand Australian.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, they have to learn American, but it's okay. We have emus, too, Australian emus, and we just had some little emu chicks as well out there running around. But they bring the animals up onto the Ark, and, you know, people might say, oh, yeah, you think of animals and Noah's Ark, but one of the reasons we do that with the live animals, I mean, kids love animals, parents love animals, but most zoos and places you go to, they hear talks on animals from an evolutionary perspective.
Right.
So we have zoo staff that talk in the context of God created, he created the kinds of
And you
animals.
Go through that and you talk about that.
We
so
do.
you break down how you could get the different animals of the different kinds onto the Ark. We're talking about maybe 7,000 animals that would
at the most
that would be on the Ark. So when you begin going through this from a scientific perspective, it all works.
Oh yeah, because the Bible uses the Hebrew word mean, which is translated kind in our English translations, and we would say the word mean in most instances, the majority, corresponds to the word family. Phylum, class, order, family, genus, species, in our arbitrary classification system. You know, when I debated Bill Nye at the museum in 2004, I was on the stage there and he mocked me for believing Noah could have the animals on the Ark because he said he couldn't fit the millions of species on board. Well, the Bible doesn't use the word species. It's the word kind, which would say corresponds to family. So he didn't need the 32 dog species. He just needed two of the dog kind. He didn't need all the cat species, two of the cat kind. He just needed two of the elephant kind. That's why at our zoo here, for instance, we have alpacas, we have llamas, and we have camels because they're all the one kind. So only needed two of the camel kind. You know, we have, for instance, even at the Creation Museum, we have a zorse and a zebra. And here we have a zebra, I forget which is American now, and donkeys and so on because...
Now, let's not get political.
They're the horse kind. And so no one needed far fewer animals on the Ark than people realize. I tell you, when they get those answers, looking at the exhibits, and then also the live animals, also we deal with that, they get it, and they realize, wow, he could easily fit all those animals on
there. And you look at the size of the Ark, then you say, yeah, it could work. And also, these animals were...
you know, young animals. They were, you know, they were not full, in all cases. Well,
I think, to be full grown. I think God would. God sent the animals to Noah. Noah didn't have to go out and get them. And I suspect he would have sent young adults of reproductive age because they were to be fruitful and multiply after the ark. I don't think he'd send senior citizens.
Well, they like cruises, too.
Oh, well, that's true.
All right. More to come here on Washington Watch when we come back. Ken Ham's going to stick with us. We're going to talk more about the First Amendment and the freedom of speech and how that's under assault, even when we're talking about answers in Genesis. That's next, as well as we're going to be talking to Kim Davis a little bit later here on Washington Watch. And Travis Weber is going to be joining us with more analysis of yesterday's court case. Don't go away. Back with more after this.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and we are broadcasting from the Ark Encounter in Williamstown, Kentucky. That's northern Kentucky. Also, about 40 minutes from here, the Creation Museum. Two great, you could spend days in both, but you can certainly spend a full day in the Creation Museum, if not two. A great day in the Ark Encounter. There's a lot of stuff to do here on the property as well. Great places to eat, a great place to bring the family. Anyway, you can check out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. The president and CEO of Answers in Genesis continues to join me here, Ken Ham. Ken, again, thanks for hosting us here at the Ark Encounter.
Hey, it's great for you to be on this great big ship.
Yeah, it is. It is. If it was moving, I'd feel like I was on a cruise.
By the way, we don't call it a boat. We call it a ship because it's massive.
It is massive. I've been on some big ships back in my Marine Corps days, but this is big. This is big. Let's talk about the issue of religious freedom and freedom of speech, because you've encountered that even here, Answers in Genesis, Creation Museum, the Ark. You've had to battle those things just to be able to, to build this Ark.
Oh, yeah, we've had a number of battles, and they involve First Amendment issues. It's interesting, when we first announced many years ago, we opened the Creation Museum in 2007, so it's been open 11 years now. But even back then, 13, 14 years ago, when we announced we were going to build the Creation Museum, a local atheist group tried to stop us. And even at the zoning meetings, one of the attorneys for the atheist group said it was a separation of church and state issue. And this is a private-funded museum on private land. And in fact, when we did get all the zoning permissions, we actually had some people sue us, and one of the women that was involved in suing us had already written to the papers blasting our Christian beliefs. So, you know, there's this anti-Christian sentiment that's there, and anything that stands for Christianity, they want to stop. Now, when it comes to the Ark, it was interesting. With the Ark Encounter here in northern Kentucky, they actually have a government that wants to bring tourist attractions into the state. And so what they said was, and they passed this legislation, was very clever, actually, that if you bring a tourist attraction in and you bring all this economic impact into Kentucky, that with the sales tax you generate within your facility only, you know, the extra sales tax, they will give you a rebate on that up to a certain amount of a percentage of your capital costs. And, you know, the Bourbon Distillery Museum and lots of other places have taken advantage of that, the Speedway. Well, we thought, well, we're going to have a tourist attraction, the Ark, we can do that. We applied for it, and we were approved for it. But the then governor, not the now the governor, the then governor of Kentucky put a stop to it. And we actually got letters saying, but you're going to tell people about Jesus. You're going to tell them about the gospel. And you are overtly Christian, and you are going to employ Christians. You can't do that. And so we took that to federal court, to a federal judge, who ruled conclusively. It was like a 71-page ruling. Was very detailed, and he said, number one, Christians aren't second-class citizens. This is a facially neutral program. You can't say because they're Christians they can't partake of it. And then he said, under the 1964 Civil Rights Act, you know, Title VII, they say they're Christian. Even you, the governor, said they're Christian, so they have a right to employ Christians. And so we won that case conclusively. We had another instance recently. The same attorney group that were dealing with this Baker case, Alliance Defending Freedom, came to our aid. Our geologist, Dr. Andrew Snelling, he has been doing research in the Grand Canyon for many years. And, you know, the Grand Canyon has areas where you see these folds in the rocks. The whole area was uplifted. Mm-hmm. And the seculars say that it was laid down over millions of years, solidified over millions of years of heat and pressure, raised it up. We believe it was raised up at the end of the flood, and those layers were bent while they were soft because they show no evidence of massive breaking up. Nobody's ever done the research on that, would you believe? Nobody's ever gone and looked at the rocks, done the thin sections, done the chemical analysis, because you can show whether they were raised up soft or not, or whether it was heat and pressure over millions of years. So Andrew applied for a research permit for 3 years, got knocked back. And then Alliance Defending Freedom came to our aid, and through the Freedom of Information found out they had sent out the proposal to various professors at secular universities, and we've got their letters. We're able to get their letters saying, these are creationists. You shouldn't let them do this. Because these people are Christians, they're trying to prove their ideas of the Bible and Noah's flood. They shouldn't be allowed to do this. Well, that was so obviously against our First Amendment rights that when Alliance Defending Freedom sued the Grand Canyon National Parks Department, which means the federal government, and it went all the way, you know, to the higher echelons of federal government, they gave in. They caved, and we got our permits.
That's amazing. They do not want competition when it comes to the stage of ideas.
No.
They can't defend, I think, in my view, because we see this not just in the area of science, we see it across the board. They can't defend the logic or the reasoning behind their beliefs, so they want to shut down the other side.
If their beliefs are so right, it should be so easy to show everyone that we're wrong, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the same as the creation evolutionist issue in school. You think about it, they legislate to protect the teaching of evolution. Why don't they just allow academic freedom?
Right.
Why not just allow teachers to explore all different views and so on?
They don't want freedom. Ken, up against the break, we're out of time again, but let me ask you this. Someone just wants us to go away and not create conflict, and when they challenge us to fold, it's important that we stand for these freedoms.
Jude says contend for the faith. And, you know, the trouble with a lot of people, if you don't defend your freedoms and you don't stand up for them, you'll lose them. We need to stand up for them. We have done that a number of times, and if we hadn't, we would have lost the freedoms that we had.
And I commend you for that, because you were defending those freedoms for not just yourself and Answers in Genesis, but for all of us. Ken Ham, thanks again for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
All right, folks, talking about standing, Kim Davis, Kentucky Clerk of Court, joins us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism. Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. As we mentioned, we are in northern Kentucky today, broadcasting from the Ark Encounter. And it's a great place to visit. The Creation Museum, about 40 minutes from here, and the Ark Encounter, situated on about 800 acres out here. Just a beautiful, beautiful place. But I couldn't come to Kentucky without talking to my favorite county clerk of court, Kim Davis. As you know, we've had her on the program many times. I visited her when she was in prison, in jail, actually, for standing up for her religious freedom and refusing to sign same-sex marriage license. And I'm grateful that she is joining us. She's actually on her way back to jail to do a Bible study with ladies there in the jail. Kim Davis, thanks for joining us.
Well, how are you, Tony? It's good to be here.
Well, it's so good. I couldn't come. It's so good to hear your voice. I couldn't come to Kentucky and not have you on the program because I know that there was actually a gay activist trying to run in the Democratic primary to try to knock you out of your seat, but he lost his bid in the Democratic primary. And you are still clerk of court running for re-election here in the state of Kentucky. But things have changed since you stood up for your religious freedom. In fact, the legislature may making now accommodations for those who do not want to be forced to violate their religious beliefs.
Exactly. It was It was just a, it all worked out so wonderfully. Our new governor, Matt Bevin, whom I just, I think the world of, he just allows his moral compass, you know, to lead and guide him in all things. And had it not been for him, I don't, I'm not really sure where I would be at this stage in my job. You know, the Lord really worked and moved through him. And, you know, they took care of the marriage license and gave me exactly, you know, the exemption that I had been asking for all along. I wasn't asking for, you know, anything big and huge as far as an accommodation. Just take my name and authorization off of it. You know, don't make me the authority that issues it. And that's exactly what he did.
And the accommodations were made for those who wanted the same-sex marriage license. They could still get it. They weren't denied it. It was simply, as you said, you seeking an accommodation so that you wouldn't be forced to be a part of something that violated your faith. Kim, you know, you've got a book out. You wrote a book about your story, telling your story. And I know the answer to this, but I want to ask you for the benefit of our listeners, because I know that this was a very difficult and trying experience. I mean, you know, going to jail is not a pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. But you, let me just put it in the form of a question, and you answer it. Has God been faithful to Kim Davis?
Oh, my. Beyond faithful. He has blessed me. So much, Tony. I can't even start to lay out how much God has blessed me just for being faithful to Him. You know, He is a faithful God, and He calls us to be faithful. And I always want to honor, I always want to honor the Lord in all that I say and do, and you know, everything.
And as a result of that faithfulness, which came at a price and was difficult, but as a result of that faithfulness of, on your behalf to God's call, God has opened up so many doors for you. You've spoken to so many different people. You've been to so many different places and testified to God's truth and His faithfulness that never would have happened had you shrunk back from taking that stand for truth.
Well, that's so true, because, you know, I think most of all what Christians, you know, we've been quiet for a long time because we thought that God wanted us to remain quiet and not cause any controversy. But you know, when our rights, God's law is being trampled on, I think we have an obligation to stand up and stand strong for the Word of God and you know, what we believe in. So it's not, for me, I couldn't imagine not standing. You know, I said, you know, if God's Word isn't worth standing up for and fighting, what is? You know, so many times we pick and choose battles, and most of the time they are, you know, meaningless in the scheme of the bigger picture, which is why we are here. You know, it's that the beginning date and that ending date and that little dash in between. That's our defining moment. And what you do to increase the kingdom of God is what's in that dash. And that's, I want my dash to be remembered for something other than just being a good Christian or being a good person. You know, I want to do something for God. I want to be right in the center of God's will, where He's working. I don't want Him to be in the center of my will or where I'm working, but I want to be right smack dab in the center of where He's at and what He's doing.
That is so good. That's so good. And in fact, speaking of that, I know I'm holding you up because you are on your way to lead a women's Bible study at the prison. Tell us a little bit about that ministry.
Well, it's a wonderful ministry. I see people just changing every day. Today, actually, I was paid a visit by one of the ladies that I met there in jail when we first started Bible study back in about 2012. And I have just fell in love with her. I've watched God take a hardened, stone-faced, scary. I was very intimidated of her, very frightened of her at first. And I've watched Him chip away and peel away that crustiness on that heart and to tear down those walls bit by bit. And she came in and she's we're actually going to make arrangements to get her baptized in Jesus' name tomorrow after our Bible study at church. And I've seen God work and move in wondrous ways in that place. And this is the thing that I try to remind those ladies. You know, I can see, I can look past all the stuff that they've done, the orange jumpsuits that they have on, and the scars that sin has left behind on them, and I can see them as beautiful, Holy Ghost-filled women of God, worshiping and living for God, and having, being a living testimony, being a witness like God commanded us. You know, he told the disciples to go and be witnesses, you know, and to all of the world. And so, you know, that's what I want to give to them is the encouragement that their past doesn't define who they are. While it lays out a good testimony for them to give others encouragement, it doesn't define who they are, you know. So, but that's the main thing with the Bible study is just, you know, giving them the encouragement and the hope that they need, because there's a lot of hopeless and desperate and broken people in these facilities, and most of them are, you know, on drugs or had, mm-hmm. you know, drug issues or, and so we really want to help them break that cycle and to have victory in Jesus.
And bring them the hope and the purpose for life.
Oh,
Kim,
before I let
you go, where can people find out more about what Kim Davis is doing?
You can go to lc.org and you can order the book. And, you know, I wrote the book and read it while we were writing it and everything, but I cannot read it now. It's like I'm living it all over again. So it's pretty emotional for me. But
yeah.
But yeah, you can go online to lc.org and you can order the book. It's a pretty easy read, and it won't take you long to get through it. But yeah, it's I'm just here doing my job. Actually, I'm still at work yet. I haven't even left to go to the jail yet. I got to be there by 7, and so I'm still here finishing up at work, just plugging right along.
Well, the good news is tonight you can check out once you check in. That's the good thing about going to. Kim,
That's true.
Always great to talk with you. Thank you for your courage and your boldness.
Hey, Tony, I want to give a shout out to Jack Phillips for his victory through the
yes.
Supreme Court and the ruling, and it was an outstanding victory, a 7-2 victory. And I just have to give praise to God and just know that, like Baronell and the Klein and all those people that have battles going on right now about the same issue, God is still on the throne and alive and in control. And he knew exactly what he was going to do from the very beginning when all this started. So I just want to give God glory and the praise and just give a shout out to Jack and tell him good job.
All right. We'll make sure that that word goes on to him. Kim, thanks so much. Great to talk with you.
Thanks, Tony. You too.
All right. Kim Davis, clerk of court here in Kentucky. Speaking of the Jack Phillips case, joining us now, Travis Weber is the director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council, and he joins us with further analysis of that case, the Masterpiece Cake decision, 7-2, as Kim made reference to, handed down yesterday. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. This case yesterday, Jeremy Tedesco was on the program with Alliance Defending Freedom. And, you know, he was very, very encouraged by this case, not only for Jack Phillips and what it means to him personally in his case, but more broadly encouraged by the statement that this makes for the free exercise of religion, that it is alive and well.
Yeah, no, I think this is we're right to be encouraged for the free exercise implications of this case. Obviously, in the ruling itself, you have the court clearly articulating a standard and principle that under the free exercise clause, government actors cannot discriminate against religion, disfavor religion, treat religion with hostility or animus or anything that would single out religion and push it to the margins of the public debate. So we have a clear affirmation by the court in which they're saying religion is part of the public debate and it deserves a place in the marketplace of ideas and people can live out their faith. And that faith can play a part in their life and work. So in this way, very significant and will impact other areas for the better.
Now, a couple of things, other things we talked with Jeremy about was the issue of the Civil Rights Commission there in Colorado that brought this instigated this going after Jack Phillips. and the court really rebuking them for their open hostility toward religious freedom. Is it your sense that some of these commissions that really have been hijacked to advance the LGBTQ agenda will be put on notice that their open hostility to religious freedom will not be tolerated?
Yeah, I think this ruling does serve to put them on notice. And not just, you know, we obviously have the area, this area of activism for LGBT issues, but you really often have these, some of these commissions sort of operating on their own wavelength outside of any reasonable legal interpretation without sufficient accountability. You know, the fact that you have commissioners saying that Jack Phillips, describing his beliefs as despicable, they use that word. They also compared him to someone who would support the Holocaust or someone who owned slaves. And this was not questioned by other commissioners when the one commissioner made these references. It never was disavowed by the state's attorneys all the way to the Supreme Court. And this was the basis, one of the two main bases on which the court, Justice Kennedy, leading that opinion, saying this is ridiculous, in essence, absurd, and this type of bigotry towards religion, this type of marginalization and animus towards religion, just won't stand under the free exercise clause. You know, and the court has done this a bit recently. Last year, the Trinity Lutheran case, the court ruling clearly, also the 7-2 ruling, that under the free exercise clause, it cannot disfavor religion and treat religion less than equal in a public grant program. This type of reasoning we've seen carried through with changes to the FEMA policies, allowing churches to receive FEMA money. And this all the way goes back all the way to the Toomey case from the early 90s, also authored by Justice Kennedy. In that case, the court ruling that free exercise clause prohibits a town from targeting a religion through a law or regulation aimed to exclude that religious practice, even if it doesn't state that it's doing so. It can't do that with the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law can't do that, even if on its face it looks good. So this targeting of religion, I think the court has come down pretty strongly on. And in this way, you know, I think it sends a signal that people and government actors need to pay attention to what they're doing and how they're treating religion. Can't marginalize it from the public square, from our lives and how we integrate our faith with everything that we're doing.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. As I mentioned, we're broadcasting from the Ark Encounter in Northern Kentucky. Travis Weber, my guest in these final moments of the program, the director of our Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council. The broader issues, the collision between religious freedom and this new discovered created sexual liberty, those were not addressed in this case. I would think at some point in time the court is going to have to deal with that issue, because the activists on the left are wanting to basically subjugate religious freedom to this sexual liberty. At what point in time is the court going to take that issue head on?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the day, but it's going to be in the near future because, like you noted, they did not really deal with it here. And these key cases continue to bubble up. I think even this Thursday, the court is going to be looking at what to do in terms of how it's going to approach the Arlene Flowers case, Farrell Sutton's case from Washington, a florist in a very similar situation to Jack Phillips. So they're going to say, well, based on the Masterpiece case, how are we going to rule in her case, and we'll see some development there. Other cases are bubbling up, not only in the wedding vendor context. You've got all sorts of issues with religious schools, public officials. We just heard, from Kim Davis and people in her situation. Folks in similar situations all face the conflict you described, whether the First Amendment, free speech, free exercise, and other statutory religious freedom claims, how they intersect with the government's new demands in the era of same-sex marriage. So we're going to need to address these things. And I think some of the concurring opinions provide some good guidelines for that. Justice Thomas noting this conflict has been brought upon by this era of same-sex marriage, and free speech offers strong protections in that area. He cited.
All right, Travis, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time for today's program, but obviously you're going to be talking about this much more in the days ahead. Thanks so much, Travis, for joining us. And folks, thank you for joining us as we wrap up our time here at the Ark Encounter. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.